coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's more useless than David Wright's DVD collection. I am Rob's sister, Nino. Hello, everybody. How's it going? We're ready to talk about the double episode from Survivor this week. And we have got a great guest for you here today. We're going to be talking with Gabby Pascuzzi from Survivor David versus Goliath. She'll be here with me in just a moment to talk about everything that happened on our double boot episode of Survivor. Aubrey and Big Wendy went out back to back last night. Of course, the Survivor know-it-alls. I was pumped up last night. I was really excited to get into everything with Stephen Fishback. And I thought that was best know-it-alls of the season on Wednesday night. If you haven't caught that podcast for whatever reason, you could either listen to the podcast or watch the video of all that. And then we've got a jam-packed weekend coming up where I'm going to get into all of your feedback questions with Australian Survivor. And Nick Iadanza is going to be joining me. Get your questions in. You can send in a voicemail. robis@website.com/voicemail or call in 323-282-RHAP. I'll put a tweet out as well. So many different ways that you can get your questions into the show. We've got This Week in Survivor coming up with our guest, Amon Adwin, and then Josh Wiggler returns for the Wiggle Room on Monday. So be on the lookout for that. Before we get to Gabby, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor here today. Those are friends over at AIS. They are the auto insurance specialists, and they are here for one thing. They are trying to save you money on your car insurance by making sure that you have the best rate for the coverage you need. This is not, hey, let me just get cheapo depot insurance, and then when you need it, you're not happy with what you have. You are going to go ahead and give AIS all the information about your make and model and how far you drive and the coverage that you need, and they're going to put you with the best carrier that there is for you. Go to AISinsurance.com/Rob and let AIS use their smart quote technology. All I have is dumb quote technologies, like Penner said, don't want to be like these kids and get faded. But they've got smart quote technology over at AIS. They're going to save you money on your car insurance and let you know if there's a better carrier for you or if you actually do have the best rate. Don't make your next insurance payment until you check out the rates with AIS. These insurance companies are banking on the fact that you're not going to look into this, and you can save yourself some money. Go to AISinsurance.com/Rob or call 1-800-777-4AIS. That's AISinsurance.com/Rob. All right, everybody, let's get into our guest this week on the podcast to talk about the double episode of Survivor this week. She's back with us after her time out on Survivor David versus Goliath. We talked to her after the game, and she even was a guest with Stephen Fishback and myself on the return of the Love Know-It-Alls, the highly anticipated return of the Love Know-It-Alls on Valentine's Day of 2019. And here she is, the great Gabby Pascuzzi.
Hello.
Wow.
Thanks for having me.
That was very excited.
I'm excited. Oh, I know. I'm sorry to oversaturate your listeners with me, but I'm here. I'm back again.
Yes. There's only one woman who is on Twitter who was unhappy. Everybody else seems very excited about this.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad. But you know how you always listen to the one negative one. So I'm sorry to that one person.
Yeah. So don't mind her. Gabby, so excited to have you back to talk about this. I thought that this was so far, I know it was two episodes in one night, but I think that this is the high point of the season. I'm really excited for the Edge of Extinction right now.
I totally agree. Oh my God. I had so much fun watching the episode last night. I was screaming at my TV. I didn't know what to expect with a double episode so early in the season, pre-merge, because I feel like usually they're post-merge, right?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, but it was so good.
Yeah. Usually that I thought it was going to be a dud because when they do these early double episodes, that it sometimes it's like, okay, well, we're just going to like an easy vote or somebody that we don't care about is going to go home. And then I was all the more blindsided to lose Aubrey and Big Wendy in one night. So we will talk about all that here with Gabby. But first, Gabby, we have some news at this hour that I want to get into. And Gabby, you, according to my social media sources at twitter.com, were the recipient of a great gift was bestowed onto you today.
It's true. I think even better than the Sia money, I received 8 pints of Halo Top ice cream from Halo Top Creamery.
How did this happen? What is the connection between Halo Top Creamery and Survivor?
Okay, this is what happened. I am a frequent consumer of many reality TV shows, including The Bachelor.
Many ice creams.
And ice creams. Mm-hmm. But I watched The Bachelor. And so on The Bachelor, during their reunion special, Halo Top gave one of the women a year's supply of their ice cream because she cried so much on The Bachelor. And they showed a whole montage of all the times she cried. And they brought out Halo Top and they were like, you have free ice cream for a year. Mm-hmm. And so
how much ice cream is a year supply of ice cream?
You know, I was wondering that, too. I would guess it's one ice cream, 1 pint per week or something like that. Like 52 ice creams. Okay, so I don't know who can do the math. I got War Dog. 8 pints, so we need War Dog to do some math. I can't contact him personally, but maybe he can tell somebody and they can tell me what 8 so out of 52 are.
1 pint of ice cream a night. It could be as much as, less than 1% of a container a year.
Sorry,
is that the is that the debut of your War Dog impression?
Okay. Go on.
So I tweeted at Halo Top Creamery and I said, did you even watch Survivor? Do you not know that I cried the whole time on Survivor? Where's mm-hmm. my free ice cream? Mm-hmm. And people thought it was funny and it was just meant to be a joke. And then Halo Top actually replied and said, hey, DM us. And so I DM'd with them and they were like, give us your address. We're going to send you a gift. And so it got to my apartment yesterday in like a package with dry ice and everything. The ice cream was nice and cold. And I got 8 pints of Halo Top ice cream. So
okay, there you go. Congratulations on that.
It made the whole all the past year of everyone making fun of me crying totally worth it. I got eight pints of ice cream.
Yeah, I guess that's 2 months worth of ice cream.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I need a consultant on that.
Okay. All right. Aubrey might be in need of some Halo Top after last night being voted out of the game in the first blindside of the night. Normally you get the comparison to Hannah, but once upon a time, Hannah used to get the comparison. Oh, Hannah is new Aubrey. So I guess by proxy, are you somehow like 2 generations removed Aubrey?
Yes. I'm like her second cousin or something, but no, she, yeah. I mean, Aubrey is one of the reasons that I applied. Like I saw her and I was like, oh my gosh, she's Italian American like me. She wears glasses. She's a brunette. She's smart. She's a writer. Like she works in social media, whatever. I was like, I should apply because she did so well and I didn't do as well as her, obviously, but she's always like been my icon for that sort of archetype. And, yeah, I was super bummed to see her go, but I don't think it tarnishes her Survivor legacy in any way because she, you know, stuff happens.
Yeah, that's the hard part about coming back, and I think that we as survivors think about a lot about what happens if we come back, and especially when you're somebody who is been out there 3 times like Aubrey. First off, very hard to have 3 deep runs out there. Aubrey already had two. So there's very few people that have really gone far three times. I think when you look at any returning player who's has like a multiple appearances, like three plus, they tend to have one that doesn't go great. We still have the Edge of Extinction. So who knows? I guess the book is not closed on Aubrey. But I think that, you know, what Aubrey has accomplished in her first two times out, like I like to think it doesn't get diminished if you have a stinker.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's first of all, it's really hard to do much better than second and fifth place. Like, that's just incredible. And so really there, I didn't think there was too much she could have done to tarnish her legacy. But I do think that it's notable that I think the way she went out tonight was almost because of her first two games. I don't think she's ever been in a spot where she's, well, obviously she's never been blindsided before, because first of all, she made it to the final three. And secondly, she wasn't blindsided in her second game. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's relevant, actually, that she never had that experience of knowing what the eerie feeling that it feels like before you get blindsided, which I know I've felt because I was blindsided on my vote out. And so I wonder if that did play a part in it. And she said as well, like, she's never played from, I guess, with power before. So I think there were a lot of factors that contributed to her being blindsided, especially at this early point in the game.
I do think that part of it was that she had not been to a tribal council with these people. And as somebody who was voted out in a first tribal council with a specific group of people, that I do think that you sort of like pick up on tells from people in terms of like how they act. And when you don't get that baseline from people in terms of being in on planning and decision making with them, it's hard to sort of like when you take a lie detector, they ask you a bunch of questions. Okay, what's your address? What's your name? What's your favorite Halo top? And then you just, you know, tell them the truth. And then you sort of have a baseline. And Aubrey didn't really have the baseline with these guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. And she said it herself a few episodes ago where she said, I like going to tribal council because then you see where the lines are drawn. And I don't think she would have necessarily been the first one out had Kama gone to tribal council when they were a big group.
It's called tribal council if it's with the comma tribe.
Yeah, that's just because I had a little
you saved mouth it.
Problem right there. But I don't think that she would have been the first one out had they gone as the group of nine. And I'm agreeing with you that
who would have been out?
That's a good question. I just feel like we didn't see the dynamics enough. What do you think?
I think it might have been Aurora. I think that they would have said, okay, well, Joe or Aubrey might have an idol. We don't want to split our votes, but okay, I bet Aurora doesn't have the idol. And that's probably the easy vote to go for.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how early those relationships were formed. I thought Julie kind of had a fish out of water story where she was like, oh, I'm not from the outdoors. By the way, I think she's doing great. But, you know, for that first vote, it's unfortunate, but sometimes they base it on strength. And like, if you're having a hard time with the camp life, that can sometimes be a reason. But yeah, I feel like Aubrey may not have been the first one to go. So then you're right. She could have picked up more on, getting the baseline for the lie detector test. And, it's hard to not go to tribal council until day, whatever day it was, 12 or so that she got voted out, because you just like, you kind of lose track of what's real, what's not real. And I think you could, I was a little frustrated because I was like, why does she believe all of a sudden that Victoria wants to work with her when she got weird vibes from Victoria before? But things do change in Survivor, so I can understand why maybe she thought, okay, now Victoria wants to work with me. But that would have maybe been, it may have been more obvious if they had gone to tribal before and she saw how clever or sneaky Victoria was. She may have had a different perspective on this circumstance.
Yeah. I wonder if Aubrey might have also thought that, hey, Joe is the threat. And by being on the tribe with Joe, that I'm just being lumped in with him as a threat. I'm not a threat. I'm not Joe. I'm Aubrey. And so that, you know, look at me as I'm the same as you guys. And now that I'm not here with Joe, now we can work together. You don't have to be distracted by Joey Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely possible. And I think she is less threatening when she, yeah, compared to Joe. But when you're on that small group of five, is it five of them? Yeah. Then suddenly you are standing out. And I mean, I think it was the right move for everyone who voted Aubrey out, but I am very sad. And I'm so sad that she went home with an idol and an advantage in her pocket. Oh my gosh, so sad.
Yeah. Was there anything that should have been a blinking red light for Aubrey that she needed to play her idol at that tribal council?
So, yeah, I have thought about this. I think that tribal, the plans were already set and she wasn't feeling like she needed to play it. I think her warning sign should have come earlier when she talked to Wendy. Mm-hmm. And so let me see if I can explain this. She, Victoria and Wendy are talking about a plan to get out Eric.
Yes.
And even though this is fake from Victoria, whatever, she's pretending like this is a real conversation. So my thoughts are Wendy already knows that the plan is to get out Aubrey. And that's why Wendy is kind of like, I don't know. First of all, that's crappy. Like, that's not how you play Survivor. Like, just say yes to the plan. Like, tell Aubrey that you want to do the plan.
Big Wendy is not a strategic mastermind.
We can get into that later. Okay. not a great moment. My thought, if I'm Aubrey and Wendy seems noncommittal, what Aubrey said in confessional is Wendy doesn't seem to want to go for Eric, and I can't work with someone who's so wishy-washy, so I've got to vote out Wendy. If I were Aubrey, my thought would be, what the heck? Who's Wendy voting for? What does Wendy think the plan is? And I think that is one of the things in Survivor that we saw a really great example of Victoria did at this episode, where she had sort of like this, the real plan, the fake plan, I guess. Yeah. Just the real plan and the fake plan.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot in Survivor. I just wanted to point that out to people. I was talking to a friend about it and they were like, oh, I didn't realize that. And I was not to take anything away from Victoria's gameplay. It was awesome. But I would say that to me, that was like 80% of Survivor was like, what's the plan? What's the fake plan? What does that person think the plan is? And that to me differentiates the good players from the great players, is if you're able to keep track of all the fake plans. And if you're able to extrapolate that and think, wait, if I don't know what that person's plan is, maybe I'm left out of something. So all this is to say, if I were Aubrey and I got this weird noncommittal answer from Wendy, I guess you could think, wow, Wendy must just really suck at Survivor. But you would also think, who's Wendy voting for? Like, if she's not saying yes to this plan, what is her plan? And if I were her, I would have. So afterwards, let's say now Wendy went on a walk somewhere. And so now Aubrey's talking to Victoria and she's saying, well, that didn't go well. We don't have Wendy, so I guess we can't vote for Eric. I guess we're voting for Wendy, right? And Victoria's going to say, yeah, we're voting for Wendy. What Aubrey should say, who's Wendy voting for?
Yeah.
And then if Victoria doesn't have a good answer for that, that's a red flag.
Yeah. No, I think you're so right. And I hadn't even thought about this. But, you know, Wendy, who does not have the great poker face, as we've seen, I think Aubrey's next move should be, as we're being able to have perfect 2020 hindsight, go to Big Wendy and say, hey, Wendy, so who are you voting for tonight?
Yeah.
And then try to find that answer out. And whatever response she gives, then the next question should be, why? And if she ends up being super evasive about that, I think that that is enough sort of bad juju that maybe Aubrey says, I need to play my idol tonight.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking. So if Aubrey didn't get the sense that Wendy was in for the plan on Eric, who did she think that Wendy was voting for? And if it's you, if it's Aubrey, even just that would set off my suspicions. Yeah.
Why me? What did I do? And I think that Big Wendy is the kind of person that we've seen that she does not hold her tongue. If Big Wendy is going to be voting you out, I think that Big Wendy will tell you to your face exactly what her problem is with you. I don't think that Big Wendy is the type of person who's going to hold back. And now she was able to keep it a secret that she was voting for Aubrey, but it seems like that was more that Aubrey did not try particularly hard with Big Wendy.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't know, of course, you know, now that I play it, I'm always like, we don't know the whole story, which I know is like not fun to hear 10 times a minute on the podcast. So that's just a given. But yeah, we definitely didn't see Aubrey prying any deeper with Victoria or Wendy. And yeah, I think it's just easy to assume that other people aren't playing as hard as you. And I can say, like, that's why I got voted out. And I think that's a really easy mistake to make, is I think Aubrey came into that situation saying, oh, Kama is so like laid back and everyone's so calm and they're just like drinking the Kool-Aid, not realizing that, like, you know, she realized, oh, Victoria's been wide awake. Well, she's even more awake than you thought.
So just going back to your own experience, that you feel like that what ultimately did you in David versus Goliath was that you underestimated the other people that you were playing with?
I felt like I had a plan and a backup plan and a fake plan. I had fake plans for everything. But what I neglected to think about what is the best move for everybody else. So just to remind people, I was voting for Christian, and then my backup plan was, okay, the people who aren't voting for Christian are voting for Allison. And that way, if Christian plays his idol, Allison will go home. Well, I don't know why I didn't think, if I were Allison, why would I want three votes on me? Even if I thought Christian didn't have an idol and Christian was going home. If I was Allison, I would talk to Mike and Angelina and say, like, you know, this, you talk to them. And so yeah, that was my mistake. It was assuming that like my plan was the best for everybody.
Was that really what happened? Did Allison go and tell them?
No, but Allison knew. Allison wasn't the one who instigated Mike and Angelina to vote for me. But Allison, I remember I got an eerie sense before Tribal. I was talking to Allison. She seemed so calm. And I'm thinking, that's a little weird to seem calm when you know you're getting three votes on you. And I said, how come everyone seems so calm? And she just said, I don't know. I think we're good. You know, and I said, how do you feel about tonight? And she said, I'm good. I'm just a little worried about what if Christian has an idol. And of course, I had been lying to her and told her Christian didn't have an idol. Mm-hmm. And so I said, oh, no, he doesn't. You don't have to worry. But it's like, if I were Allison, I wouldn't believe that. And that's why she was so calm, because she knew that the three votes or two votes weren't going on her.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was convoluted. But basically, yeah, you just have to think about like what would other people do and not assume that your best move is everybody's best move. But it's really hard. It's really, really hard. I think maybe I could understand it. It would be easy to believe that Big Wendy is like not playing super hard because she's done a lot of goofy things this season. So if I were Aubrey, I'd be like, I guess Wendy just isn't great at Survivor. But like, if you thought a little bit harder about it, you would be like, she's made it this far. Does Wendy want to go home? Who's Wendy voting for? She must have a plan in place that I don't know about.
Mm-hmm. From the perspective of Aubrey, did you think it was the right move to be targeting somebody like Eric before the merge there with maybe another tribal council to go?
If Victoria came up to me like she did, then yeah, I believe that. I mean, if Victoria comes up to you with a plan and says, let's three girls do something, you don't want to be an Aubrey and be like, well, actually, let's get rid of Wendy. You know, because then it's like, oh, I threw you a bone. I mean, it's hard because in Survivor, you have to believe something. So I can't fault Aubrey for believing something when she had been getting nothing, right? Somebody threw her a bone, albeit a fake bone, and she took it. And that's understandable. I think that the mistake came from not playing an idol, which was, I mean, that's easy for me to say from my couch. I could definitely understand wanting to hold on to it because it's going to serve you better at the merge than it will on day 12. But then again, it will serve you better on day 12 than it will, being defunct on Extinction Island.
Gabby, we saw in David versus Goliath, you know, that great moment where the Davids, came together like the Avengers and had a bunch of different advantages that they were able to sort of like put their heads together and collaborate. Do you feel like that? Is that potentially a better situation than one person like Aubrey having multiple advantages and then having to not only decide what her vote is going to be, but also what advantages, if any, she needs to play? Like, does that really just complicate the situation for one player in particular without having a brain trust to be able to work with?
Yes, but you have to be able to trust the people that you're taught that you are doing the brainstorm with. I do believe in keeping some things secret. I've never had an advantage, so I can't relate, but I could imagine that you would want to keep an idol secret. But yeah, if you have people you can trust and you're not sure how to use an advantage, it might be better to share the information like we did on the Davids, and we could kind of put our heads together and decide what to do with it. That was also necessary because we needed that amount of votes. Like when the Davids came together, you know, when Nick is saying, hey, by the way, I have a steal a vote, it's because he needs all five of us to vote the same way for the vote steal to be advantageous. So it has to be like the right situation. You have to trust the people. And I just don't think Aubrey had either of those. She didn't have a situation in which she thought, oh, it's such a slim margin, I'm going to use this extra vote. She didn't have anyone that she felt like she could trust with the information of having an idol or having an advantage. So I can imagine that having all that pressure on your shoulders is just overwhelming. It's it's overwhelming to think about. And like Aubrey said, I think it's easier to play from the bottom. I played from the bottom basically my whole game. And I actually feel like when I got voted out was when I didn't feel as much on the bottom. And that was something I wanted to say, which was I felt for Aubrey because it was almost like, was the lesson we were supposed to take from it is that you should be a little paranoid and you should be a little neurotic, because in her first two seasons she was, and she did really well. And in this one, she was comfortable and got blindsided.
Yeah, I do think that one of the things that works for a Survivor player is to be paranoid, because, you know, in your real life, that it's probably a dysfunctional thing to think that everybody is trying to get you. They're probably not. In the game of Survivor, they probably are. And I think that you're probably better off to be a little too paranoid about things and to be just overthinking how everybody is trying to screw you over in the game of Survivor, and sort of like stay up at night thinking about all the different ways people are going to try to come after you, than to be, you know, too safe and too secure in your position at any point.
Yeah, I agree.
But in real life, you should just go to bed. I mean, the people in your office are probably not out to get you.
Yeah. Not everyone is plotting against you. But yeah, I feel like in Survivor, maybe this is self-serving, but I feel like being a little neurotic is the way to go. And I got crap for that on my season where I would, even in the group strategy sessions, I would say, well, what if this and what if this, what if this? And people would tell me, like, especially like, I know you had him on last week, like Cebu? Carl would be like, Cebu, Mr. Dr. Boudreaux, as we called him on the island. He would say like, you're overthinking things. And I'm like, I'm not overthinking. Like that's how you play Survivor. You have to think of these things. So yeah, it's hard because people can get annoyed with you if you're too neurotic, too paranoid, too overthinking. But at the same time, I'd rather be safe than sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Aubrey is now out on the edge of extinction, and I did feel very badly for Aubrey. As much as I love all of the shenanigans going on over on the edge of extinction, my heart went out to Aubrey sort of being caught in the middle of this. That there was a scene that they put out, I saw it on the Survivor Twitter account, where Aubrey was comparing in true Aubrey style that she's like the the child of divorce, where then there's sort of like two sets of step parents that are like fighting in front of her and around her in Chris and Devin's, and then Reem and Keith, and they're just like getting into these huge fights in front of her, and she doesn't know which side she's going to go with, and it's very uncomfortable for Aubrey.
I saw that scene too, and I thought it was so funny because she's just been watching the other tribe deteriorate in front of her, right? The original Manu and then Lesu just losing team members. And then she comes to this island and she's like, I'm sure she's thinking, oh my God, no wonder all of you got voted out. You guys are crazy. It's like an island of crazy people. It's so funny. Shat, I'm sure they're all nice people, but Rick Devins is like one of my favorite castaways in a long time. I don't know why. I just love him.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, he's awesome. I think I just love that archetype. Like, I love him. I love David Wright. Like, if I wasn't on my own season, like, I would be rooting for Christian. Like, I just love, like, the funny, you know, self-deprecating guy. Like, I just love that archetype.
Okay. Do you like Edge of Extinction? Are you happy with what it's delivered so far?
I surprisingly am. It is cool. I did not think it would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love the twist of, I loved when they got the maps.
Yes.
I was screaming at my TV when Rick solved the clue in front of everyone. And I was like, that he's so smart that to put that together.
Yeah.
And I just like, I know that feeling of like figuring out a clue. Like I told you when I talked to you last time that when I figured out the merge clue, that was like the advantage you need is right here. And it was the picture of the palm tree. And like the feeling of rush that I got when it clicked in my brain was like pure adrenaline. And I knew that that's what Rick was feeling when he figured it out, that he just did it in front of everyone right there. Cause he just figured it out. Mm. And I was like, no, don't tell them. Like, just go look for it yourself. Mm. But then how funny is it that they're like, okay, so we'll all go together because, you know, Rick shared the information with everyone. And then you have Keith sneaking off.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was dying laughing. First of all, can't blame Keith. Right. But like it just looked bad, even though you really can't blame him from a game perspective. But just the fact that they were all so mad at him. And then the fact that he had a head start and he still didn't get the advantage. I was losing my shit. Oh my God. It was so funny. Well,
I think that's why he's so mad at Chris. Like, I think he already was, Chris was persona non grata. And then like Chris like tackled him to get the advantage.
And he's like, oh, come on, man. That's not cool. And I was like, you just left the whole group. And then, oh my God, the funniest thing was that when he was looking for it and he goes back to my favorite phrase of his that I have not been able to stop using. Come on, God. Come on, God. Come on, God.
Come on, God.
Come on, God.
He's got to be around here somewhere.
And I was like, go to the tree. What are you? God doesn't know what you're doing. God's busy right now.
Oh, God, give me something to smite Chris.
I was dying. He's like, come on, Jesus. I got to find this clue. I'm like, Keith, just dig for it, please. Like, God is busy. He's not watching Survivor right now. But I just thought it was so funny because I loved when he said it the first time. And I've been texting it to any friend. Nobody understands what I'm saying except for Davey and Bryce Isaiah, who I text and I'm like, come on, God.
How do you use come on, God?
Oh, you know, just like when something is, you're kind of like asking for something, or I feel like you can use it as like, oh Lord, like, oh, come on, God, like, help me here. So, you know, I text Davey and I'm just like, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I didn't text him this, but this is an example. I could say, oh my gosh, is Aubrey going to use her idol? Come on, God, come on, God. Or like Davey will, you know, text me about, he'll have a Snapchat, he'll have an Instagram story. And he's like, I need to get a haircut. And I'll just say, you know, like, you better get that haircut. Come on, God. It's however you want to use it.
However you want to use it. Gabby, we saw last night that everybody got these different maps, and then there were things to, you know, figure out based on their clues that were on the map. Going back to that first time that Reem and Keith got the map to go up to the rice, this was pre-Devins being on the edge. Do you think that there was also a clue for an advantage on that map and that Reem and Chris just didn't figure it out?
I was thinking the same thing. If I was there all day, stuck with nothing to do, I would be idle hunting as if it was the normal game. Because why not? You have nothing else to do.
There ain't literally. No idols here, dude. There's nothing. I already explored this whole island, bro.
This isn't the Holiday Inn.
Isn't it a Holiday Inn? No idols here.
I do wonder, there may not have been, and you may talk to them in the future and they'll say we didn't, or maybe they were so exhausted that they couldn't look. Who knows? But I know I would have been looking at the rice. I was even thinking if I was on the island, I think I would offer to go get the rice. Like if I was Keith and Reem's like, oh, I don't want to climb Mount Everest today, I'd be like, you know what, Reem, you go ahead. Like I'll bring the rice down. We can cook it down here. And I would freaking check if there was like a clue or something there. I mean, I don't know. I feel like my brain would still be reeling even if I was on the edge of extinction.
Yeah. You'd still be into playing the game. I've thought about this in terms of like, what would my reaction be, you know, in Survivor All-Stars when I went out earlier in the game, if I'd be pumped up. I think I definitely would be more excited to be on the edge of extinction as opposed to being at Ponderosa.
Yeah, I mean, you already signed up for 7 weeks of being away from home. You can't fly back home. You have to stay with the production. You don't have a phone. You don't have internet. So I'm like, what the heck? Okay, whatever. You're not eating. Ideally, you'd be in the game for 39 days anyway. So you should be mentally prepared to not be eating for that time. So I understand it's way harder than the real game. But yeah, you would way prefer that to being at Ponderosa. I feel like every Survivor alumnus that I've seen on social media has been like low-key salty about the edge of extinction.
But aren't the Survivor alumni low-key salty about everything?
Yeah, they are. Their edit, their screen time, everything. That's what we do. That's what's fun. And that's how we get free ice cream. So, but I feel like everyone's like, oh, if I would have had a chance to stay, which like, I mean, I can relate to for sure. But at the same time, like, didn't you feel like I felt like a little bit of relief? Obviously, if there was a chance to get back in the game, I 100% would have taken it. No hesitation. But like the one good thing about getting voted off, I remember it rained on the night that I got voted off. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time that it rained in like 15 days because we had rain for the first 12 days. And then we didn't have any rain until I got voted out on day 32. And that night it rained. And I remember thinking, haha, screw them. I'm going to Ponderosa. They're going to be in the rain. And if I would have kind of like what happened to Reem, if I would have been like, wait, now I have to be on this shitty island, like I would be pissed. Like I'd be excited to continue the game. But the one good thing about getting voted off is you're like, screw those guys. I'm going to have a burger.
Screw you, dudes.
Yeah, I'm going to have some chicken. Screw you. Whatever, dude.
Have you given any thought to the mechanism of how these players are going to potentially come back into the game?
Oh, yeah. I heard you say this on the Know-It-Alls, and I knew immediately as soon as I saw Chris's practice thing. It's those thin bamboo things. They're going to do that game. That's or at least the last part of the game is when you have to build that mm-hmm. pole and get the key with the thing, right?
Come on,
don't
God.
You think that's what it is?
Come on,
come
God.
On, God.
Get me out of
come
this,
on, God.
Get me out of this jail cell.
Yeah, I'm like certain that's what it is. I knew if it's not that, I have no idea what it is. But yeah, it must be some kind of game, I think, just amongst the Edge of Extinction players.
Okay.
And I am dying to see their reaction next week, because how funny is that when they say you merge and then they're like, and come on in, guys. And they're like, wait, what? Who is it? Like our loved ones? Like, who could this mm-hmm. possibly be? And then you see people that you voted out and you thought you wouldn't have to deal with. I would crap my pants.
Hey, bro, thought you'd never see me again, dude. You guys are so lame.
You guys are so lame. Oh, my gosh. That'd be a nightmare. Can I tell you why that would be a nightmare? Because I feel like there's something that people have not mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only a nightmare if people from the pre-merge come back because you voted them out and you thought like you'd be able to, like, if they're not on the jury, you don't have to deal with them. That's the obvious side. The other side, which I immediately texted some of my castmates about, was that once people are out of the game, you can like tell funny stories about them and kind of talk crap about them.
Right.
To bond with people. And like, if somebody else went to the edge of extinction and they were like, oh yeah, Gabby was talking mad crap about you, I'd be like, oh my God. Oh no. They know that I've told all these embarrassing stories about them.
Mm-hmm. Was there anybody that, if this happened to you, this is a question that we got for you from somebody, and I will give them the attribution. But is there somebody that, if they would have come back into the game at the merge in your season, was there somebody that you were dying or to not see?
Oh, it probably would have been Jessica, right? Because mm-hmm. I blindsided her. So that would have not been cute. that would have been stressful. But
come on,
and
God.
Then you. Oh, come on! I would have been praying to God that she didn't make it back in that competition because she was probably mad.
Yes.
But I just think about. So this is what happened to me and Christian when we were on the Teva tribe, the green tribe that didn't suck, never went to tribal. Sorry, Lesu. But when we were on that tribe, the way that I realized that the Goliaths were being Goliath strong was because we would ask them. You know, you when you. Get in this swap group, you ask each other, oh, tell me about the people on your tribe. And I would always get a little annoyed at Christian because I felt like he gave way too much information. He would just like say things about people. And I was like, I could tell the Goliaths weren't telling us anything. And then what would happen is when one of the Goliaths got voted out. So like when Natalie got voted out, all of a sudden they would have all these funny stories about Natalie and how she was so bossy and she did this, all these horrible stories about her. That I was like, oh my God, they didn't say that for like 6 days. And all of a sudden they have all these stories. They were waiting until, you know, until they got voted out, until they got out of the game that they felt like they could tell stories. Same thing with Natalia. They were like, oh yeah, Natalia's great. Da, da, da. And then as soon as she got voted out, they're like, oh yeah, she's bossy. She's abrasive, whatever. So it's like, it's so funny. So, yeah, I remember pulling Christian aside one night and being like, are you noticing that they are not telling us anything until these people are voted out? So I imagine that if they're telling bad stories about people, then, and if those people got back in the game, then, you know, like if Natalie got back in the game and I could say, oh yeah, they told us horrible stories about you.
she would not have liked that.
No.
Yeah. You know, they've been fortunate in terms of how this is going so far with, you know, this cast, and it's only 18 people compared to you guys were 20, right? On David versus mm-hmm. Goliath. Because then you had a couple people who were out of the game in terms of Pat on a medevac and then B on a medevac. So if they did this in your season, I mean, we have Jessica, Jeremy, Natalia, Lyrsa, and is that it?
Yeah, and then Pat and B, I don't know if they would have come back because they both had injuries.
I don't think so.
So yeah, I would have been excited to see Lyrsa again because I kind of got along with her enough, and I think she would have worked with me. The rest of them were enough? Goliaths.
Excuse me?
No, yeah, we did get along, you know, and I saved her, so I felt like she would have been loyal to me, but we hadn't seen each other in like 10 days, so you don't know what happens in that time.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about that second tribal council, the combined tribal council. And I was saying with Steven last night that this was something that I kind of forgot that Survivor had at its disposal to drop on these players. You and Christian, I know you guys talked through so many different scenarios. Was this something that you guys talked about back on Teva Beach? What do we do if we end up in a combined tribal council situation?
Funnily enough, I don't think this was one of the many, many situations that we talked about. I don't think this crossed our mind, which it really should have because they did it in Game Changers. That was interesting. I gasped when they announced that, when they said only one tribe's going to win. And I was like, oh my gosh, two people are going home tonight, or like three total, but two in this tribal. And then he said, and you're going to combine it. And I was watching with a couple of friends. And the first thing that all of us said is, oh, they'll vote out Wendy. Mm. Like, everyone is going to agree on Wendy.
Yeah. And so did you feel like that it was anticlimactic?
I thought that the episode did a really good job of explaining the potential rock draw and the 4-4. And I was honestly surprised that the Manu even said, oh, we're going to be 4 strong. Because in my head, if I were them, I mean, it wouldn't have looked as good. But if I were them, I would have come into trouble and been like, OK, so like, we'll vote for Wendy. Yeah, that's cool. Because you knew that there was animosity there. Obviously, that's not the kindest thing to do. But like, I was not surprised that Wendy went home. But I thought the episode did a really good job of amping up the tension about Lauren and the idols and War Dog. And but not surprised at all that they flipped on Wendy. She's not one of their original people. She is. I mean, that's kind of the reason why you keep someone like Wendy. Like, why did they get rid of Aubrey mm-hmm. beforehand instead of Wendy? Is to keep a Wendy around to be able to get rid of her.
Right. That they had. It's one like
there's always going to.
Extra. Yeah,
there's always going to be a person ahead of you. I feel like that's sort of what happened with both. I wasn't involved in the votes, but like with both Natalie and Lyrsa, where it's like you remember Angelina saying, well, let's keep Natalie because she'll always be someone that people want to vote for. And then when you have Natalie go out, then it's like, well, and now we can vote out Lyrsa because we kind of saved her last time. So it's like it makes sense. I feel like that's like maybe an emergent survivor strategy that I've seen more recently. That's like, keep the obvious vote, not forever. I agree with what you've been saying in the podcast recently, like not till the final three, don't keep her forever, mm-hmm. but keep her for like maybe one more vote than you think you need to, because then there's always a disposal vote in front of you.
It's just tempting because that person, I think that Angelina ended up becoming that person at certain points in your season where then all of a sudden you look up and she is in the final three.
She did. And I will tell you, I preach to people constantly about that. And anyone will back me up on that. When I was out there and strategizing, I was very meta. And I would tell people, I said, this is exactly like Abby Maria in Second Chances. Once she gets past a certain point, she will not get any votes and she will make it to the final three. And when it happened, I was like, you idiots, I told you this would happen.
Yeah.
Like, I literally brought it up every single vote. And I said, we need to vote out Angelina. And everyone was like, no, she's easy. We'll get her next time. And I was like, no, that's why we need to get her out. She's taking one of your spots in the final three. And I remember when I feel like no one listened to me or like, they
believed me. I would
have
listened, Gabby.
Thank you, Rob. I remember getting to Ponderosa and Elizabeth said the exact same thing. And I was like, trust me, I've been trying to tell people. But yeah, I feel like you get over a certain hump and it's like, you know what? We're not going to vote for that person anymore. There's bigger fish to fry. Mm-hmm. But it is frustrating because that person takes up someone else's spot in the final three.
Yeah. But, you know, they also got there. I don't want to take anything away from anybody that makes it to the final three in terms of getting there. Something that I have not done. So, well, I guess I did get
to
the final. I did get to a final three. They just didn't count
you
it
did
the
get
same
to,
way.
Yeah. Yeah. You were in.
So, good job by me. Three. And total screw job on the format change of Survivor. But that being said, Gabby, I want to see if we could potentially, and we've established, you know, who Big Wendy is and, you know, Big Heart, maybe not necessarily, you know, the ultimate survivor strategist based on what we've seen so far. That being said, how should she have played this combined tribal council? Should she have had the awareness that you had on the couch last night to say, oh, yeah, this is really bad for me, Big Wendy?
This is the thing. I don't know if Wendy cares. I don't want to be dismissive at all, but like, just, I appreciate her positive attitude and being voted out. But to me, I was like, do you care? Do you want to be here? Like, I genuinely don't know if she cares, and maybe she can tweet at me and let me know or something. But like, so this is what I think she should have done. I think I wrote this down. I said, Wendy should have, who knows if this would have worked. Wendy should have told her Manu tribe after she whispered with David Wright, she should have whispered to Manu tribe and said, David said he's going to flip to our side. Keep the votes the same. And then they would have deadlocked again in a tie, which would have made her immune. Because when you're one of the people voted for in the second round of the tie, you're immune.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that would, I don't know that that was me on the couch thinking of that. I don't know that anyone would have thought of that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like the trick is to say like, oh, the other, someone from the other side is flipping. So you guys don't flip. Like we've got it. He whispered to me and said, he's flipping.
Was Big Wendy's mistake maybe that she trusted that her new allies were going to go to rocks for her? Should she have shown up and been basically saying to her old tribe, the new Lesu tribe, tell me a name. Tell me a name. Any of these three people right here, I'm back with you guys tonight. Tell me who to vote for and I will do it.
Yes, she should have, but
now it could be a trick. It could be like, oh, she's a mole and then they have an idol and now you get you blew it.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think the four Lesu were going to vote for her anyway. Mm-hmm. So they weren't going to change it. And that's where you sort of get the domino effect of, this is why I love Survivor, the beginning part of the game where she antagonized them and set the chickens for, took the Flynn and did all these annoying things. And it's like, and now they're going to target you.
She made herself expendable.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas if she had been besties with them and unfortunately gotten separated at the swap, she really could have gone over there and been like, you guys, like, I'm with you. Isn't this great? Like, mm-hmm. we're going to take out these three. So that's why that's why relationships matter so much in Survivor.
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine if I was in that situation and I was across three people that I had worked with, if I was across from like Elizabeth, Nick and Christian, I would have been like, you guys, we're good. Like, tell me who to vote for. Like, I'm with you. If I would have been against people that I had antagonized, like maybe blindsided, like B, Carl and Davey, I would not be surprised. They would be like, oh, good. This is revenge. We're going to take her out. So that's why, that's why Survivor is so hard, because everything you do has a ripple effect. Even when you don't expect it to.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough spot for Wendy. I mean, if she could have just had the presence to say, look, I just need to get through this vote because I am on my way to the final three right now. If I just make it to the merge, I'm going to be okay. Like I'm reminded of in Heroes versus Villains when there was a vote and it was either going to be, you know, Courtney or Sandra. And Sandra makes it through that vote and then she goes on to the end and then she ultimately wins for her second time out. And, you know, had they decided, OK, let's take out Courtney or let's take out Sandra instead of Courtney, mm-hmm. then the whole season is totally different. And Big Wendy could come back. But if she could have just figured out a way to say like, hey, you tell me whatever name to write down, even if it's the wrong, not who you guys are going to vote for, then they'll only have three. I'll write down whatever name you guys want, and then I will then make sure that you guys have the majority to get through. Just don't vote me, Big Wendy, out tonight.
No, but if they knew she was splitting, that's what they wanted to have happen, right? They wanted her to have a stray vote so that it was 4-3-1. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if she would have said that, that would have like really sealed her fate, because they're like, oh, so for sure we can vote out Wendy because we have the majority, you know?
Right. So, it would be a little bit of a leap of faith for her that, okay, well, mm-hmm. it just take the sure thing that it's not me. Now, the other thing that could turn around like, hey, everybody want to vote for Big Wendy tonight? 7-1. Okay, great. And then,
I'm telling you, that's what I thought they were going to do. I thought before the rocks conversation, I thought they were all going to get to travel and be like, so it's Wendy, right? I mean, she let the chickens out. She took your, like, she kind of antagonized both tribes. So like, I don't know. To me, it was not surprising, but I really liked the episode. I liked that half of the episode too. I love Lesu. Mm-hmm. I love three quarters of Lesu. They're like the underdogs. I love them so much.
Yes.
So I was happy that like, quote unquote, their side won last night or whatever. I really like the other tribe too. So, but you just can't help but root for the underdogs. Mm-hmm.
Gabby, a lot of the listeners wrote in. They wanted to hear you comment on the current state of the hidden immunity idols and the gender dynamics of now all of a sudden men can't find any idols to save their lives on Survivor. What happened?
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like when you have a man in the household and you ask him to get something from like the fridge mm-hmm. or something, and he's like, it's not in here. And you're like, just look a little harder. And you're like, he's like, it's not here. And then you go and you're like, it's right here. The pickle jar is right here. How could you not see it? To me, that was like War Dog last night. And it was like right in front of his face. It was the pickle jar.
Yeah.
And he couldn't find it. So, you know, I really think men have a disadvantage when it comes to looking for idols. Because they just suck at looking for things. But no, I have so many thoughts on this. So my thoughts are, when we talk about on my season and in the meta game, when we talk about women don't find idols as much, it's not because women are worse at finding things. If anything, like the fridge example shows that mm-hmm. women are really quite good at finding things. How many times as a kid, were you like, Mom, where did I leave this thing? So what it is the social dynamics that allow someone to look for an idol, mm-hmm. which have been talked about a lot, where women are usually not as aggressive. Women are usually tending to the camp and the men are out finding fish or lizards or whatever the heck
yeah.
wood. And I, first of all, am so excited that all three idols have been found by women. That is so cool, especially considering the fact that they hadn't even seen our season and any of that gender conversation. It's just like perfect. Mm-hmm. Two of the three idols were found during an open idol search party. And I think that doesn't take away at all from Lauren or Kelly's idol finds. But, and that's also when Angelina found hers, mm-hmm. was when everyone was looking. And the only time I really felt comfortable looking on my season was when it was an open search party and everyone just knew everyone was looking. And I just think that's so interesting. And in this episode, you saw that the idol search was really aggressively started by an aggressive male player in War Dog, where he just started looking. And that was sort of the social signal that the other three said, okay, well then screw it, we're gonna look too. And then they were all looking.
Yeah.
So I just think that future female players have to keep that in mind, where it's like, look, it's not that you have a worse ability to find idols, it's that you need to give yourself more opportunities to find it, whether that's going off with another female and saying, hey, you know what, screw it, like, let's look together right now. Or whether it's just like being more aggressive, giving yourself those opportunities. But yeah, I think it's very telling that the way that the women have upped the percentage was because they were sort of like given free rein to look. Mm-hmm. So that's when Lauren found hers too, was when everyone was looking. And then with Aubrey as well, Aubrey was on the bottom. So, you know, then you kind of like have less to lose. Although she did a really good job. She didn't get caught or anything. But when you're on the bottom, you have less to lose. It's like, who's going to blame you if you're looking for an idol? Like, what's it, if you're already going to be voted out, so what? Mm-hmm. And I wish I would have done that on Teva. I felt on the bottom on Teva and I felt so scared to go look because I was like, oh, I have to suck up to Dan and John to like prove that I'm like worthy of being here. But it's like, screw that. I was already on
screw
the bottom. I
should have
just, screw that. I should have just looked for the idol. So I think my moral of the story here is that women just need to take more initiative, and whether it's covering for each other or whether it's going off in a group or whatever, they need to create more opportunities whatever. For themselves to go look.
Yeah. Something else that I think might also complicate this conversation with this season in particular is that you have Aubrey and Kelly Wentworth, who are returning players also. And I would love to see sort of like when we factor in the seasons with the returning players, how often are women on their second time out more likely to go hunt for idols as opposed to in their first stint on Survivor. And I also think that the actual just presence of Kelly Wentworth, I think, might have also inspired Lauren a little bit to be out there looking for the idol. And of course, you know, Kelly frickin' Wentworth finds an idol, which is like a big part of her game. She's sort of like the patron saint of women finding idols on Survivor. So this is idol number three for Kelly Wentworth.
Yeah, I read that online that now she's tied with Parvati for the number of idols, but Parvati's third one was given to
but
her.
But she won't find more than Russell.
No, she could, who knows? So yeah, I think it's awesome. But yeah, I do feel like as a returning player, also then you probably have information from your friends, your survivor friends, you know, like Aubrey probably, actually, I think I read that she asked Ty how he found his. And like, I know even on my season, when the Davids decided to go look, I grilled Davey and I was like, what does it look like? How far away from the path is it? Like, how do I find it? And then after Christian found his as well, I did the same thing. So I definitely think being a returning player and having that knowledge is a huge advantage. Mm-hmm. That's why I was so impressed that Lauren found it. She was the first one to find an idol. I thought it was awesome. I love her, by the way.
Mm-hmm. All right, Gabby, I want to bring in some of these questions that we got. I got a lot of questions for Gabby from the listeners of Rob Has a Podcast. But first, I want to take a moment and thank a sponsor. And Gabby, I'm very excited to talk about this sponsor here with you, of course, that we had you with Stephen Fishback and I on the Love Know-It-All. So I'm excited to talk about the dating app that's called Ship. Go to getship.com/RHAP to check it out now. Let me tell you about Ship, Gabby, and you tell me if it's something that you might be interested in. That Ship. Ship is a dating app for people that allows not just single people, but also people who are already in relationships also be on the app serving as matchmaker for their single friends.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, I'm glad that's what you described it as. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yes, yes. I mean, that was a little bit of a, you know, it took you for a little bit of a ride there. But so, yeah. Yes, so I'm very excited. So now I got on Ship. Go to getship.com/RHAP if you want to get it. But I only have one person in my contacts that is on Ship. And it is a Survivor player. And can you guess who it is?
No, I don't. I have no idea. Who is it?
I should, unmask this person, but I don't think he minds. Adam Klein.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I've met Adam. He's such a sweetie.
Yeah. So he's on. I've requested him to be in his group, but you know, we've had so many people, so many couples form out of Rob Has a Podcast. I'm so excited to potentially be able to help match more people up, and that's what you can do with Ship. Then what you end up doing is you have all of these groups, so that you have people who you know and trust who are with you on the journey of, hey, how about this person? How about this person? Of, uh-oh, no way, red flag, I repeat, don't go after this person. So you can go through the group chat and your friends can say, come on, God, go ahead and help find the perfect somebody for everybody that you know that's on Ship. It's hilarious to see what's going to come up and what will happen when they start going up on dates. And this is very exciting for me personally, because this is my first opportunity to be on a dating app, Gabby.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad that you're on that side of it, the matchmaker side. That is cool. That's a really good idea, because when I was on dating apps, I would always like send screenshots to my friends and say, what do you think of this person? So it sounds like that app kind of like integrates that part into it already.
Yeah, dating is more fun when you get to do it with friends. Download Ship for free at getshipped.com/RHAP. That's getshipped.com/RHAP to start today. Yeah, bro, I sleep in a ship every night, and it's lame. Okay, bro? Okay? You got any friends that can sleep in a ship? Sorry. No, Reem. I do not.
Come on, God.
I do not.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, how cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in some of these questions for Gabby. Edward Morris wants to know, Gabby, what would you do if somebody released the chickens? Where do you come down on the chicken situation on Survivor?
Eat the chickens. Oh my God, eat the chickens. I didn't get to eat any of the chickens because they decided to eat the chickens whenever we won the pizza reward. And whatever, I wasn't salty, but I never ate a chicken. Oh my gosh, I have chicken stories. Can I tell two short chicken stories?
Yeah, you can tell as many chicken stories as you want.
I feel like the chickens are always such a great source of drama on Survivor, which is hilarious because like the chickens
for 20 years, the chickens are bringing it on Survivor.
They are. So my first chicken story is that, oh my gosh. Okay. I hope she doesn't get mad at me for telling this. I hope I don't get in trouble for telling this story because it's a little bit behind the scenes, but we on David versus Goliath, Merge Beach, accidentally killed a chicken, not by killing it with a knife, but we accidentally poisoned a chicken and it died and we did not eat it.
Okay. How did you accidentally poison a chicken?
I will not cast blame,
okay,
but I will say that my dear friend, Elizabeth Olsen, mm-hmm, was very fond of the chickens. She did what Ty did, and she would put a little rope around its leg and let it roam to a certain extent. And she would put it in a little chicken coop and give them food. And what I believe happened was we fed it a poisonous fruit that you are not supposed to eat.
The chicken has flown the coop.
Yeah, if that chicken could have flown, it would have. But okay, like, it was so sad.
It was not a malicious poisoning. It was an accidental poisoning. No,
it was accidental. And we had to have a tribe meeting about it. And this was like day one or two of the merge. And Elizabeth calls a meeting and she's like, all right, guys, the chicken has fallen ill. We need to decide what to do with the chicken. Do we put it out of its misery? Like the chicken was like all lethargic and sad. Ooh. And we were like, what happened? And she's like, I was feeding it. And I don't know, maybe it ate one of these things that we're not supposed to feed it. And like, I'm sorry, it's morbid. I will never get the Sia money. But like, it was so funny to me. And I remember I was swinging in the hammock with Mike White and everyone was gathering. And Elizabeth's like, everyone, we need a tribe meeting. And this was my first time ever talking to Mike. And I thought he was so funny. And we were like, can we Skype in? Can we do a video conference? Because we were just like enjoying ourselves. We were like, can we Skype into the meeting? Is it that important that you have full attendance? And the meeting was to decide what to do with the chicken. I think the chicken ended up dying. And it was a vote about like, do you guys want to try eating the chicken, even mm-hmm though it might be poisoned? Like, we didn't know what that would do to us. Whether like if we ate a chicken that was poisoned, would we get poisoned? And I thought we should just eat it. But I didn't want to be the weird girl that's like, yeah, let's eat the rotten meat. Like, it wasn't rotten, but I don't know how like that kind of thing works. Mm-hmm. So everyone voted to let the chicken die and not eat it because we were scared it was contaminated. And I was like, whatever, I'm Asian, we eat like chicken feet, like just give me the dead chicken, I don't care if it's poisoned. But I didn't want to be the weird girl.
Gabby, did this ultimately put the nail in Elizabeth's coffin at the merge?
You know, I don't think that particular instance did, but it was something funny that Elizabeth did all the time. Was she always had projects and she was so all over the place, which contributed to this sort of persona of her like being a threat in the game, because it was like she was talking to everybody. She had projects everywhere. We were building a crab trap for her back on the David Beach. She got an idea to do a charcoal water filter on the David Beach. Like she was the project queen. Mm-hmm. She always had projects. So not that particular instance, so crafty. But then she was really crafty because she would start a craft and then she would hand off a craft to somebody else. And she'd be like, continue this. And that's mm-hmm why you have a scene of me and Christian like basket weaving, because we don't know what the hell we're doing because we're finishing her crab trap that didn't work. I love her. She is so funny. And so the other story is that, one of the chickens before Elizabeth got voted out, it, like I said, it had a rope tied to its leg and it flew up into a tree and we were all like, crap, we don't know how to get it down. And Elizabeth was really the only one that was really good with the chickens. And so when she got voted out that night. And then weeks later, when I met up with her at Ponderosa, we were catching up and she said, yeah, that night I got voted out, I knew that chicken was stuck up in the tree and I was hoping that it would just crap all over you guys that night. So we eventually got it down, but oh my gosh, those chickens crack me up. There's so many stories about them.
So I actually have a question for you from Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh, great.
Okay. It's not about chickens.
Good. Yeah. My sister, I love her. We talk all the time.
She said, why did some fans praise Lauren for holding on to her idol and criticize Aubrey for doing the same thing? Besides the fact that one failed and one worked, Why should Aubrey have played hers? And why should Lauren have held on to hers? Steven and I touched on this real quick last night on the Know-It-Alls, where Lauren, should she have played her idol at the combined tribal council? Did you agree with that hold for Lauren?
I thought it was smart to hold it. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think it was a really good plan, whether it was War Dog's plan or not. The plan that the other tribe was going to flip on Wendy was much more likely mm-hmm. than the four of them flipping on Lauren. So I think that she was smart. And then I also think in a weird way, I mean, I imagine it's scary to get your name written four times, but if they would have tied again, she would have been immune. Right. So in a way, like, she was weirdly safe, even though it feels very unsafe. Mm-hmm. But good call, I think, to save the idol.
You subpodded War Dog there briefly. Do you want to discuss what is the issue there that I saw? We follow social media very closely, and that you and Hannah, like in quick succession, were both blocked by the War Dog, and I wasn't exactly sure what happened.
Oh, don't worry, neither are we. Okay. No, it's first of all, Hannah and I are just having good fun about it, and that's I think what we thought was so funny was. Somebody tagged me on Reddit and they were like, can you comment on this? So I'd let them know. I said, there's three people involved here. Two of us are known for being very lighthearted and funny on Twitter and making jokes and making fun of ourselves. And so, you know, take that how it is. But no, it definitely wasn't meant to be like a sub pod. Well, maybe it was a little bit, but it was what I meant was whoever came up with the plan, whether it was War Dog or not, like, I think it was a good plan to vote for Wendy. I don't want to take credit away from him, but I also think it was like kind of an obvious plan. Like, I would think that if he didn't come up with it, somebody else would have. Yeah, there's no real story. Although, yeah, what happened was that I made a joke about that. I feel like, and people in my season did it too, and I did it a little bit too, when you start making comments about your season on social media. And I'm all for that. I think some people are really good at it. I love following Rick Devins on Twitter. He's really funny. I think if you're able to make sort of like big comments about the game or making fun of yourself, I love that kind of social media stuff. And that's why I follow certain people. Like, I follow Devins and I follow Gavin, and that's fun. I started getting a little nervous because I don't like being spoiled. When I saw people tweeting at each other that were, they're not from the same tribe. And I get it. Like, maybe you're all on edge of extinction, or maybe you all met after the season. Like, I get that it's not a spoiler, but I just decided to make a joke about it and mm-hmm. say like, oh, like, I don't like when people are talking to each other across, you know, feeling a little spoilery, with a gif of myself saying like, zip it. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm going to mute people if I feel like they're getting too spoilery. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, I realized I was blocked by War Dog.
Okay.
And then I was like, you know what? That's fine, because that's then I don't have to see the content that I don't want to see anyway. But
he just cut out the middleman.
Yeah, he really helped me. Mm-hmm. It was like, apparently I can't just mute on my own. I asked. It kind of reminds me of like when you're, you know, on a dating app, maybe not Ship, mm-hmm. and then you're like you're talking to someone, and then. Or not even a dating app. And if you like politely say like, no, thank you to a guy. And then he's like, whatever. I didn't want to date you anyway. You're ugly and you're stupid and I'm going to block you. And it's like, what? Oh, okay. But, can I tell you that I wrote something for in case it came up, and now it's come up. So
you have a prepared statement, a la Jeremy Crawford.
Yeah, I would like to read a prepared statement.
Okay.
It's actually my spinoff of the jingle. Oh my God, I'm going to hate myself for this tomorrow. But I think I'm really funny. So maybe like three other people will think I'm funny. So this is my submission for the Survivor Tweets jingle.
Come on, God.
Come on, God. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready. You want the music, okay. or you could do it without?
No music. Okay. I gotta do a slower tempo because I'm more like Chris Noble levels of rapping. Okay. So, tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. Only thing better than muting War Dog is him blocking me.
There you go. Okay. There you go. No, do we need to use that one this week? That's the jingle for this week?
No, okay. You don't need to. I'm just hoping that at least three people laughed at that. And now I'm never going to.
None of the survivors have ever done that before. That's a first.
Really? Oh, yeah. My gosh. I love those. I laugh at those so hard every week. And I was like, if it comes up, it took me 3 seconds to write. And I think I'm really funny. Mm-hmm. So like, that's why I caused trouble on Twitter, because I crack myself up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go.
Okay. Let me ask you this question from Gene. And this is a question I've gotten in some version a couple times before. And I want to get your theories on this. Gene says, this is a production question. Was Extinction Island born out of cost savings? I'm enjoying what is occurring so far, but could it be that we'll see more Extinction Island in future seasons? Because it must be cheaper to film these contestants than to babysit them and take them on a loser trip. Love to hear your thoughts. Do you think Extinction Island was born as a cost-saving measure that you don't have to feed them? You don't have to take them to Australia. You don't have to lodge them.
That's hilarious. I never went to Australia, but I heard that those who went had a great time. And I mean, I could say just from the amount of beers consumed at Ponderosa alone, mm-hmm, during my week in the game, mostly by Godfather Carl 76, mm-hmm, that they probably saved a lot of money just on that alone.
Now, just to be serious, I doubt that the amount of money that is going into the cost of feeding people at Ponderosa and then even taking them on some sort of a trip, then I would imagine that the cost of filming on an island and having camera crews out there on the edge of extinction, I think is probably going to come out pretty close to even, if not more expensive, to do the edge of extinction.
I agree. And no amount of Hard Rock Cafe cocktails, I think, can add up to, you know, the pay, salary, and the film and the editing and everything of a whole other production area.
Yes.
I'm wondering if one person quits, are they going to go on the pre-merge trip or whatever by themselves?
I think they stay at the Ponderosa, probably.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because then are the rest of them going to be on the jury? I am so interested to see what happens next week. We have no idea.
Okay. First off, do you think that everybody who does not get back into the game, do you think they will go back to Extinction Island for the post-merge?
Oh, I was wondering that too. Like, how many entry points do we get? I guess they are going to go back on Edge of Extinction.
I think so too, but we'll have to see what happens. And then this is a question that I have not heard this talked about anywhere in terms of, you know, the people don't really talk about like the money people get, but there are payouts from Survivor. I don't think that's any secret. So if somebody, let's say hypothetically, Reem gets to go back to Edge of Extinction and she ends up being on the Edge of Extinction for, you know, 37-38 days out there, and or however, whenever, you know, if somebody gets back into the game later on, is she gonna get a bump? Do you think that people got more to be on this season in terms of the payouts for, or do you think that Reem will get the same money that somebody got to be voted out day three, even though Reem was on the show for, you know, basically the entire season?
Yeah, I think they would get the same amount, right? I think that they would.
Dude,
and I don't want.
That is so lame. That is so lame. I was out here.
Should have taken their free vacation.
I was out here that they should, like, I read the sign, bro. That was not in there.
There's no timeline on this.
The timeline? What? I could drop kick you right now.
Oh, Reem got violent. Reem's from Virginia. I want to meet her. Reem, if you're listening, hit me up. I would love to get a beer with you at the Holiday Inn. I think this is okay. I will tell you, I love the Edge of Extinction twist. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I don't like about it, and I don't want this to be rude at all to any of the players that have been voted out, I'm very happy for them, and I hope I don't sound salty or anything.
Uh-oh.
But I feel like it takes away a little bit of the gravitas of being voted out, where it's like you asked, should Reem get higher prize money because she stayed that long. Like, no, I'm sorry. You were still the first one voted out. Like, why should you get more special treatment over Pat or whoever? Stephanie Gonzalez, who was the first one voted out. Like, you're extremely privileged to be on this season where you get to continue, not only for another chance in the game, but if you care about airtime and stuff like that, I mean, it's cool. Like, your family still gets to watch you on TV. I mean, Jessica Pete didn't get to watch herself on TV past episode 2, and that's heartbreaking. She's a huge fan. So, like, I think that we sort of forget, like, I don't know how to put this without, like, sounding snobby, but, like, I don't think that, like, the first and second boots shouldn't, like, get on their high horse about, like, oh, like, I'm still in the game or on the show, or, like, I deserve more because I stayed on the island for 20 days. Because it's like, you were still the first one voted out. Sorry, that's really mean. But it takes away a little bit of the gravitas for me, where it's like, I would have been heartbroken when Rick got voted out. I was, actually, I cried. But, surprise. But I was a little less sad because I knew I would see him on my screen the next episode. And I feel like, not that I would wish ill will on any castaways, but it's almost like part of the ritual of passage. You know, most people get voted out of the game, and most people experience the sort of heartbreaking thing of having to spend the whole next day doing exit press and watching the next episode, and you're not in the episode. And I feel like these contestants, like, haven't really gotten that, which is great for them, like, not salty at all. But like, yeah, I don't think that necessarily, like, they deserve preferential treatment in any way, because on any other season, like, they would have been gone. So they should just, like, consider themselves really lucky. I mean, how crazy is it that we have the first boot still giving confessionals, whereas you have some people that are in the game who, like, didn't get many confessionals until recently.
Yeah.
Look, if I was in the game, I feel like I'd be a little, like, frustrated.
So you would be frustrated if you were one of the players that's still on the show, because that your opportunity, like, if you were somebody who was going to go very far in the game, you'd be like, hey, why did I have to be on a season where all the people that are already voted out are still getting airtime, as opposed to the people who are on the edge of extinction should be really grateful to say, like, thank God I'm on a season that has edge of extinction.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure they are grateful, and I don't mean it to be condescending or anything at all, but yeah, I
forget about that beer, bro.
And by the way, when you're out there, I was never thinking about airtime. I was never thinking, oh, I'm gonna do this and it's gonna get me airtime. But when you're back from the show and you want to share the experience with your family, it's really nice to be able to sit down and watch the episode and be like, oh yeah, there's that, there's me, like, there's me winning the challenge, or there's a confessional of me explaining. And I could understand that it's frustrating as you get deeper and deeper, where you expect to get a little more focused because there's fewer people left in the game. If you're in the final eight and they're still showing someone who on any other season would have been gone by episode 2, you're kind of like, okay, come on. Like, I'm playing a really great game right now, and we're still focused on people that got voted out super early.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question for you. I got a voicemail question for you, Gabby. This is from one of our listeners. Amanda has a voicemail question for you.
Hey, Rob and Gabby. This is Amanda Fallon calling. Want to honor the great Skinny Ryan and ask what you think each of the Age of Extinction outcasts should write on their buffs for next week. Love you, Bays, but especially Gabby.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Thank you, Amanda.
Especially me.
I think we can knock this out pretty quick. So Amanda is referencing when Skinny Ryan came back way back when in Survivor Pearl Islands. And do you have any recollection of this, Gabby?
Wasn't it like Die Jerks?
Die Jerks. That's right. So he had written that on his, like, sort of like makeshift purple. I don't even think they had like an official buff. They just had like purple bandanas, and he wrote Die Jerks on there. So if we could we real quick, what's the inscription on everybody's Skinny Ryan bandana coming into the competition to get back in the game?
Oh, yeah, we got this. Let's do it. Speed round.
Okay. All right. First up, Reem.
Screw you guys.
Yeah, I think that is her catchphrase.
Screw you, dude.
Oh, yeah, we're changing it to dude. Yeah.
Screw you, dude. Okay.
I love her. So funny.
Yeah. I mean, really, she makes like those three words rhyme somehow, like screw you, dude.
I think it's called vowel harmony, but don't get me started on my linguistics degree.
All right. I think that we've nailed down Keith.
We know it. Do you have a clip for it?
I don't know if I have the short version of it. Let me give you what I do have. This is I thought his catchphrase was
"Tank it."
Okay. But this is maybe the longer version. Maybe we have a come on God in here. More dangs there for Keith. Then, all right, number three, Chris. Does Chris have a catchphrase? He has, signature things, but I don't know if he has a phrase.
He does have signature things. Mm-hmm. I think we'll exempt him.
Okay. All right. So, Chris, he does not yet have a catchphrase that maybe
he has for Monica from your
for Monica Monica. We'll leave it at that. Okay. Then, all right. After Chris, does Devin's have a catchphrase?
Oh, it's gotta be.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. This is. Oh yeah.
I wonder if he knew that would become his signature, his thing. Like, he's going to be known as the Kool-Aid guy from now on.
Okay. Aubrey, does Aubrey have a catchphrase for her bandana?
She doesn't have a catchphrase. Instead, she just has one very long, convoluted analogy written out in like really tiny letters on her, and you have to like squint to
read
it.
What's the analogy?
Aubrey always comes up with these things where I'm like, okay. Like, I feel like the cat one, I don't know if I quite followed.
Yeah.
I feel like she just like picks an item and she's like, sometimes there, you are like a nonstick pan, mm-hmm, and you find your can of spray Pam. And you got to see who slides together and who's sticking and who's. And I'm like, that's mm-hmm, a little complicated.
Yes. So what would it? So it's not a bandana. She's kind of like Don Draper. It's not a bandana. It's like a what?
Oh, it's an apron with one of those like a whole long sentence. She bought it at like a Home Goods, and it's like it's like, in this house we have black cats and wizards in like different cursive fonts.
And it's, you know, it's her chance to get back in. So it's almost like, it's like I'm something that is at the secondhand store, and this is like a new price tag, and maybe if the price tag fits, I will find a new home, and then I won't be some sort of like cast off secondhand toy anymore.
Yeah. That's good. So yeah, it's harder than it looks, right? Now we see
she makes it look so easy,
Ryan,
so effortless.
And yeah, and we have all these analogies. You know, it's like a poached egg. Let's go with that. It's poached egg.
Delicious. And then what about Big Wendy?
Oh my gosh.
Save the chickens.
Save the chickens. Yeah. Save the chickens.
Okay, so Big Wendy, save the chickens, and then we'll see if anybody comes back with their skinny Ryan bandana for this week. Okay, let's see more questions for Gabby. Amanda Rabinowitz wants to know, Gabby, are wearing big glasses a good strategy for lulling other players into thinking that you're sleeping through the game? That's what Aubrey said about Victoria. And while we're at it, I'd love to get you to weigh in on Victoria so far.
Yeah, I didn't get Aubrey's analogy with that. She was like, her eyes have been closed and those behind those big glasses, but I didn't see that they were. I didn't like understand what she said. And I was like, don't glasses make your eyes look bigger. But I feel like Victoria is like the much cooler, hipper, calmer version of me. And I love her. I love her. I stan her. Yeah, she's great. I think we're the similar archetype, which I think a lot of people would not believe. But if you're a fan of the Angie Kahn's archetypes, then you would understand.
Of course.
The Chelsea Handler.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's funny. I think she's cool. I think she's doing a really good job. I hope she doesn't reveal herself as too big of a threat. But it's hard. I think as a young woman, like, you have to be visibly making moves. Otherwise people just like, don't think you're playing, which is shitty because it's like, I think when you're like a guy, when you're like some average Joe Schmo, if you make it to the end and have like the tiniest bit of resume, people just like you, because that's just like how society works, where we just like, Eric is my winner pick. And I think like, if he makes it to the end, even I'm sure he's playing a good game too, but I think it's just like, he's a dad, he's a firefighter. Like, that's awesome. Whereas with someone with like Victoria, it's like, she's younger, she's pretty, she's a waitress or a bartender or something like that. So it's like, I feel like you have to do more to prove yourself, which of course, we got, what did we get? An hour and a half into this. Now I will start talking about gender.
We talked about the idol a little bit.
We did. Yeah. But I think it's just like, I think as a woman, like, you have to do so much more to be seen as an equal. So I think she's doing a great job, but then it's a double-edged sword because then people might see her as a threat.
Yeah. I was impressed with Victoria from what we've seen so far from her, and especially in the Aubrey vote. I thought she did a really great job. And I also really liked when she was talking about like going to rocks, and she had that one confessional where she said, yeah, I'll flip. Like, I'm not going to rocks. Like, nobody should trust me. And what I liked about that is I felt like that she really knows what game she's playing, and that she is like taking a page out of the Sandra playbook, where she's like, I'm not going to rocks for these people. She's like, I'll be fine. I'll figure it out. Like, all I have to do is not get voted out tonight. And then when we get to the merge, I'll flip. I don't care. I'm not doing, comma strong if it's not in my own best interest. So I feel like that if she does go far enough in the game and has the opportunity to be able to explain herself at that final tribal council, that I think she has a good sense of what she's doing and maybe how people perceive her. And she might be able to speak well to that.
Oh, I totally agree. I guess that's what I'm saying too, is I think if she gets to the end, she has a really good case.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried that people will be threatened by her because people aren't used to seeing young strategic women, which is a shame, because I would say a lot of women have probably played like her before, and it's just not shown as often. Like, I think it's just, she's playing, what she did last night was a very social maneuver, right? There was no idols. It was just a social thing of saying, hey, Aubrey, what if we did this? I'm with you. And then she's telling the guys, hey, is it okay if I use your name as a decoy? Very smart social game. And I would say that I feel like when I played, I experienced a lot of that with Kara. I experienced a lot of that with Allison. I would say the three of us, we did things like that sometimes it's not always shown. So I guess my point is, she's playing an amazing game. I hope she gets to the end so she can describe it, because I think games like that need to be recognized more so than the flashy idol games and just like strong dude games. So I hope she wins so that people like recognize the strength of a social game.
Okay. Golf Drox on Twitter wants to know, if the occasion appears to draw for rocks, what will you guys do? Change the vote or stay strong? I'm going to take this question to mean, Gabby, would you have gone to rocks? Would you have been somebody who would hold strong with their group, or go to rocks potentially?
Okay. Feel like this is not great in case I ever go back to play again, but I would not go to rocks. I probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I did not come out here for my game to be decided by rocks. I remember there was a circumstance. It was after we voted Carl out. So then it was eight people. So this is ultimately when I ended up going home, but you remember seeing Nick really mad at Christian.
Yes.
And then I walked over and I was like, hey, like, what's up? Like, I'm sorry. Are you okay? And Nick was like, God damn it. Like, now we're even numbers. And like, what if we, what if we go to Rocks? Like, would you go to Rocks? And I like forgot what the right answer was. Like, I couldn't remember if going to Rocks was a good or bad thing. Like, cause I was so, he was like yelling and I was scared. And I was like, no, no, I wouldn't go to Rocks. And he's like, you wouldn't? And I was like, no, I would. Yes, I would. Like, I forgot what I was supposed to say. And it, but it's like, no, I wouldn't. And what I meant by that, by the way, when I was telling Nick was more like, it won't come to that. Like, we'll mm-hmm. find some other way where I think Allison was actually like the target at that before I changed it to Christian. But I'm sorry, I don't think I would. Like, in an extreme circumstance, I guess so. But if I was a Victoria, a Gavin, or if I was pretty much anyone there, mm-hmm. I would have flipped. Like, you're still too early in the game. You're not at the merge. Like, none of them have allegiance to Wendy. Oh, my God. I wouldn't have gone to Rocks.
Would you be more likely to go to Rocks if you played a second time? Or would it be the same?
Yeah, so I was hearing that debate between the players on the screen and then between you and Steven last night. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It depends on the situation.
Because it seemed like you, that both David and Kelly both were like, okay, well, if we go to Rocks, we go to Rocks. Now, everybody on David's first season when they played and had to draw Rocks, they were all playing the first time and they did draw Rocks in that season. I think that was the last time that's happened, unless mm-hmm. I am forgetting another instance of that. And that was five seasons ago now. And I don't think that we've had it come up since then. But maybe that was like the reminder of what happened to Jessica Lewis was like, oh, like I could go out of the game just by drawing a rock. And where way back when it happened to Pascal and he drew a rock, then it was 23 seasons before it happened to somebody again. And I used to talk about it as, you know, Survivor sort of invented the perfect tiebreak, something that was so mm-hmm. Undesirable, so unpalatable that it made people never go to ties because they didn't want to draw a rock.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the only other time I remember it is when it was on Blood versus Water.
Yeah,
and
Katie.
But there was the... But and then there was the Redemption Island. So there was kind of like, I remember, I mean, Tyson went to Rocks, right? And he ended
Tyson
up
went to
that
Rocks.
Season.
Yeah.
But it's like, if he would have picked the wrong rock, he could have gone on Redemption Island. So it was like a little less risky. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like it's like the worst possible scenario, like worse than being idled out, worse than being blindsided. Like, it's a rock. I would never do. I guess I shouldn't say no. Now people are going to be like, oh, don't trust her. But like, I just think that's like the stupidest way. I would find every possible alternative before letting mm-hmm. it get to that point. Yeah, it just seems.
Yeah. If I could, that when Tyson did it, and this is like really I'm going to pontificate here, with Tyson drawing the rock made it cool. And then mm-hmm. when Jessica drew the rock and got voted out on a night that she wouldn't have gone home, I think that maybe it unrang that bell a little bit where we talked about, you know, for Tyson that he felt like that, hey, if I lose, I go to Redemption Island. If I pull the right rock, I'll probably win the game. And he ultimately did. And I think that in the light of being the victor, that ultimately worked out. I think that we remember, like, you know, in that Millennials versus Gen X tribal council in terms of pulling the rock, like, I don't think that we look at it like, oh, Adam went to Rocks that night and that's why he won the game. I think we yes. maybe only remember Jessica losing the game because of that. And then for Survivor, this generation of new Survivor players is sort of indoctrinated. Well, I don't want to go to Rocks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It doesn't seem like it's like, I don't think it's like this noble thing that it's like, oh, you're so bold if you go to Rocks. It's kind of like, yeah, Adam Klein could have also easily lost at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's an interesting sort of big picture stuff.
Yeah, it really is. So I don't know. How likely do you think it was that they were ever going to go to Rocks last night? Or do you think that it was always kind of either one of the sides were going to flip? Because we had multiple people from either side saying, oh, I'll flip on War Dog. Oh, I'll flip on Wendy. Oh, I'll flip mm-hmm. on Lauren.
Yeah, I kind of thought that one person was going to flip from each side. I thought that Lauren might flip and then also Victoria might flip and then end up being even.
You know, I've seen people talk about that online, and I've always wondered,
should that be penalized the same way? Because then it results in a tie, but you did have people that were willing to flip. And I've heard the lore about Will was going to flip, but then he thought Jessica, like, I forget what the order of it was, but that basically in Millennials versus Gen X, somebody thought somebody was going to flip.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, because they didn't want it to like still be a tie. So do you think they should somehow change the rules that it's like, if anybody flips, rather than like, oh, if the numbers are even, I don't know how they would calculate that, but it seems like unfair, I guess, if people decide to flip, if it ends up being tied because both people decide to flip, should it still be a tie? I feel like that's like not the same as a deadlock, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact rules. I'm not sure if that after the second tie, if there's an opportunity to sort of like for anybody to change their vote, or I'm not sure if that's only when it's like that 0-0 tie. Like, I feel like that there was like a point of discussion when Kimmy ended up going home of like, well, should it so be Kimmy or Keith?
So what it is after the second tie, they have to come to a unanimous decision. Otherwise, they go to rocks.
Okay.
So that's with the Kimmy one, it was weird because the unanimous was only between two people.
Yeah.
But otherwise it has to be unanimous.
And remember that time on Game Changers when they really wanted to make going to rocks a thing, where it was like, if it's a tie, there's no tie break vote. It automatically goes to rocks on
yes,
a tie vote.
I was going to bring that up too. And they didn't end up tying. I don't know.
Everybody's like, so. No way. We're not doing, don't even let it be a close vote because we're not going to rocks. We're not doing that. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
All right. This is a question from the great Edjo69, who wants to know, which ice cream flavors are some of these survivors, Gabby? Which ice cream best represents your own personality? Which Halo top? Got a lot of Halo top questions. Do you have anybody? Does anybody come to mind in terms of?
They should send me some ice cream. Who comes to mind? Okay. Well, I feel like there's like salted caramel flavor, which I feel like is like kind of salty, kind of sweet. I feel like that's like Wentworth. Like she's sweet, but she's kind of like sassy. She's got a little like edge to her. And then I feel like you have, then I feel like I like this flavor. I asked Halo Top to send me oatmeal cookie.
Yes. Who's oatmeal flavor. Cookie? That's you?
Oatmeal cookie. No, it's Wendy, because it's extremely polarizing.
Yes.
People either love oatmeal cookies or they're like, oh, don't give me oatmeal cookie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Wendy.
Okay. Who's Joe Anglum?
Oh my gosh. How have we not talked about Joe? Joe is like vanilla.
Vanilla. Always a fan favorite.
A fan favorite. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yes.
Okay. Do it for Sierra.
Do it. He's doing it for Sierra. And then what is Aubrey? Just so we can then say that the metaphor of that Aubrey is like this flavor.
Wow, that's a great question. Aubrey is s'mores flavor, where there's a little bit of like a hard exterior. There's the graham crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle, you've kind of got like the ooey gooey, like soft
marshmallow.
Cause she's really
goes great with everything.
Emotional. You know, I love seeing that side of her.
Picks you up after a hard day.
Yeah. But sometimes you leave the marshmallow on a little bit too long and it gets burnt and then you forget to play your idol and you go home.
Yes.
So yeah.
Okay. Gabby, what else from the Survivor Edge of Extinction?
I'm liking it a lot. I'm really enjoying it. And I hope that the players are having fun watching themselves and listening to the podcast. I hope they're not listening to the podcast and not reading Reddit, but I know that all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to meet some of them. It's weird to like pass the torch, you know, to the next season. But I love it because it's also like, oh, thank God. Now people can like not talk about me.
Who's getting voted out at the merge? Who's the merge boot this season?
Do you think it could be whoever comes back from the edge of extinction if they don't win immunity?
Boy, you know, in the case of Wyatt Nash, a.k.a. Matt Elrod, he did not have immunity when he came back into the game. And I guess that I don't think that Ozzy did either when they did Redemption Island. And I don't know if Laura Moret did. I don't recall, but yeah, it does seem like that's the easy thing to do. Just vote out the person who's already been voted out.
Yeah. I mean, or maybe it's Joe. Like, maybe I feel like they've been building up such a story about like, we got to get Joe out. So why have they been telling us that story if they're not going to get Joe out?
Do you think Joe will flip to the other side?
No, I think he's
got to.
By the way, I like his strategy of trying to build other people up as threats, but I don't know how convincing it is. Like, does Julia really think she's as big of a threat as
she seemed Joey to? Mason? She seemed to buy it, but it just seems like that. No, he's tricking you. He's tricking you.
I know. I don't know if she really believes it, but I don't know that he'll flip. I think he's thinking of, he's, I don't know. Who would he flip to?
I think there's a lane for him and Aurora to go with David and Kelly and Wardog and Lauren and whoever comes back from Extinction.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I could see that. Oh, my gosh. Well, and Wardog's been getting some flack recently, too. They could get rid of Wardog. Oh, no, but maybe Lesu's not going to.
Yeah, unless you're the David tribe. I don't know who would get rid of one of their own numbers right off the bat.
You'll have to ask Carl about that. I don't know who would start throwing out one of their own people's names right away.
Look, leave Cebu out of this.
The Godfather.
Yes. Okay. Gabby, do we have a hashtag for this episode of the podcast?
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Hashtag come on, God.
I feel like I got to save that for my boy Bryce. He's,
okay, save
he's
it.
Much more active on the hashtag come on, God.
Do we have
I do want to get it trending. So okay. Everybody needs to use hashtag come on, God.
Okay. So we're saving that. Or are we doing some sort of halo top?
Yeah, we're going to do... oh my gosh. I'm not good at this. Mm-hmm. Something about ice cream. Hashtag vanilla ice cream. That's boring. Oh, like vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
I don't like vanilla ice cream, by the way.
Yes. Now, are you talking about Joe or are you talking about the ice cream?
I'm talking about ice cream, Rob. Come on. Don't get me in trouble.
Okay. Have you opened any of your Halo Top yet?
No, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yes.
They're low calorie.
Yeah, it's low calorie, but I know that you are.
What? They're not a sponsor.
They're not a sponsor. But I think it's that there's more air in the ice cream. Is that what the deal is?
I have no idea. It's just.
I think that's what it is. I think it's just more that it's like, it tastes really good, but there's like more air in the container.
Huh. Well, if that's what it is. It's delicious air.
It's delicious air. It's like, hey, I'm eating a pint of ice cream, but I think it's like there's just like more air in there, so it's less calories.
Yeah, exactly.
But still delicious. People like air.
I eat air all the time.
Yeah. Okay, Gabby, how do people track you down on social media if they want to find you and block you?
Yeah, if you would like to block me, you can block me on Twitter at Gabby Pascuzzi and on Instagram at Gabscuzzi, which Rob has made fun of me.
I'm not going to do it again. I've made my point. I just you want to keep it straightforward and simple, like the vanilla ice cream.
Yeah. Hashtag vanilla ice cream.
Yes.
Hashtag don't block me.
Hashtag don't block. Tara Renee wants to know, what is Gabby's go-to karaoke song?
Oh, you will find out on April 16th. Okay, I can't reveal that at this time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, yeah. But you have one.
Oh, I have one. Yeah, I've been preparing, warming up the vocal cords.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. You're practicing.
Yeah, I'm excited. That's going to be fun.
It will be fun. Can't wait for that. And anything else that you have coming up?
No. Oh, okay. Speaking of Twitter, I'm sorry. I will just plug me and Hannah Shapiro are trying to work on something that we think might be funny and might be interesting, and it might not be. But what I want people to send me examples of, if you are a woman on Twitter, or if you can be anyone, but we would love for women to send us examples of when you tried to make a joke on Twitter and somebody replied totally like missing the point of your joke. Or they're trying to like oddly comfort you for making a joke, or something just annoying that happened, send it to us, because we're trying to compile something.
Okay.
For
do I have to be a woman to send you examples of this?
No, you send us examples anyway. We are trying to compile it from women because it's a specific thing that we have in mind. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Send us them anyway. We may not do anything with it. Hannah and I FaceTimed for like 3 hours just to catch up. And then we got on this, like, we are both very tunnel vision people. And we started talking about this thing that we got very excited about. So now we're trying to do that.
Hey, that's the time to do something when you're excited about it.
Yeah. But then we're also both very like distracted and anxious people. So we're like, we've just kind of forgotten about it. But we're going to try to do it.
Yeah. Well, Hannah is another one of my favorites, and she's going to be here in the studio in a couple of weeks. So I'm very excited for that one. I saw her recently, and we're very pumped up.
Oh, awesome. I love her. That's going to be so fun. Yeah, no, that's pretty much it for me.
Okay. Gabby, thank you for coming on with me. I always appreciate getting to catch up.
Thank you. Yeah, me too. It was so fun. I'm so glad I got to talk about the double episode.
Okay. What was the response you got for the dating know-it-alls? Love know-it-alls.
Oh, I actually had somebody message me and say, you took my question. You changed. The name was different, but they actually wanted to thank me for the advice. So that's great.
Yes, we did change the names on the Love Know-It-Alls.
Yeah, but they were like really happy that you chose their question, and that apparently we gave good advice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's been fun. So, but I like talking about Survivor. I think this was very fun.
Okay. So happy.
Feel a little more qualified to talk about this.
That you came back and we got to do it all again. Of course, we got a lot still coming up. Nick, have you ever watched the Australian Survivor?
I haven't gotten a chance to, but I heard it's really good.
He's one of the greats. Nick Iadanza is going to join us on our feedback show this week. So be on the lookout for that. Get your feedback questions in. robiswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for that. And then we have This Week in Survivor. That's our newest podcast offering covering the Survivor season. Have you checked that out, Gabby? Not to put you on the spot.
Not yet.
That's
but
okay.
Is that
that's
where the
okay.
Survivor tweets are going to be? Because if
that's
so,
where
then the, yes,
that's yes, that's where I do the social media now. And
now
of course, we play This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. This week, we're going to talk to Amon Adwin, who is a great commentator of all things reality TV. And we'll talk to him this week. You can catch him on the morning updates with Taryn as well. And then we'll get back into the Wiggle Room with Josh Wiggler. So excited to have him back in the Wiggle Room this week.
Yay. I love Josh. Oh, I'm sure he had a wonderful vacation wherever he was.
Yes, he had a nice vacation, and we'll catch up with him. And then, of course, we also will have Robin Akiva Need a Podcast as well this weekend. Last weekend on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, Gabby, that Akiva and I, we have a wheel of podcast ideas, and we spin it, and whatever comes up, that's what we do on the podcast. The listeners send us in the ideas. We had a tournament of what Akiva and I should start standing, and we end up, now I stan a new thing now, but I won't say what it is. In case anybody wants to go back and listen.
Oh, I want to know what you stand. I got to listen.
I'll tell you after the podcast. I'll tell you after, okay, after we get off
Thank
the air.
God.
Of course, all of this is made possible by the wonderful patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We could not do it without the support of the Rob Has a Podcast patrons. 5 years going strong. If you want to find out more about how to become a part of our Rob Has a Podcast patron community, if you care more about this crazy stuff that we talk about more than you should, then this is the place for you. robhasawebsite.com/patron for more information and access to our secret patron only podcast feed and everything else that we have going on at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre putting this all together. Gabby, thank you. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.